Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquet. My name is Daniel Michael. I'm the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And it's great to be with you on this lovely Sunday, early evening, afternoon, depending on where you are. I want to remind everybody that Main Street Universe is a network of quite a few shows now and always growing. And I'll go over them very briefly. This one, Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Sunday, Darren is an intuitive consultant and spiritual professional at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans, Louisiana. On Monday evenings, we have Science of Light with your host, Mr. Randy Goldberg. He's a Vedic astrologer as well as a master of studying Jungian archetypes. One time, Randy was voted one of the top five metaphysical shows on Blog Talk Radio. Congratulations for that. On Tuesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. That's S-U-N, putting the sun back into Susan. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, and it is a great show with a lot of good information. It's a half-hour herbal medicine class with one of the best, Susan Weed. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe, with myself and associate producer Ginny Sarwhite, who is as well the host of the World Reggae Party here in local radio, Fairfax, FPA. On Thursdays, now we have rotating once-a-month shows. So once a month on Thursday, you will get, and they had their first episode this past week, and it looked actually fairly well rated, so congratulations. Jim and Ashley Cash, Woven Green. And Woven Green is as well the name of their band. They're a husband and wife team, and they talk about various topics that will include issues of nature, that will include issues of consciousness and expanding consciousness. They are into all sorts of esoteric and metaphysical things themselves and will be bringing on some interesting guests. They also do the sound healings. They do them around here locally, that being with the crystal bowls. They do the crystal bowl sound healings. They're quite good at it, so check them out. Jim and Ashley Cash, our new hosts, right here on Main Street Universe once a month, Woven Green. And then on Fridays, at a different time now, it used to be midnight, now I think it's around 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern time, they change because she's on tour. So keep an eye out on Friday, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And she does her show when she can because she's on a book tour for her book, You, Me, Life, Dreams, which is her fourth book, you could say. It was Activating Compassion and its workbook, and You, Me, Life, Dreams and its companion workbook. So Jessie is touring around the country. If you happen to see her out there, she did stop by here. We all had fun. She stopped by Janice's place. She stopped by here. And we went to a poetry slam and had a nice time and a nice dinner and all that sort of stuff. So if you're out there, Jessie, hello. And it was fun to have you in town in person. They met up with Jim and Ashley Cash as well while she was here. And I think they ate at Curry Matra, our favorite Indian food restaurant that's close by. So then on Saturdays, we're back to, we have some once a month rotating hosts, including the return, and she has returned, of Mary Phelan. And Mary returned this last week. She'll be back again as one of the rotating once a month hosts, which will include Queen Mother Imaku will be coming back and others. That includes Kevin Baird will be returning sometime soon as well, as he is working on his newest project, the Pathfinder, which is an electronic device with a series of sensors and responses for communicating with spirits. It's his new baby. Before it was the Horizon Oracle, and now it's the Pathfinder. And it seems to be going along quite well. So I'm curious when he gets one of these things finally complete. He said he was going to send me one to experiment with myself, and I'm looking forward to that. And tonight we're talking about a subject that is often very controversial in magical circles or metaphysical groups in general. And that is the subject of prosperity magic or prosperity working or abundance working, however you want to say it. Because to some people, wealth is different than money. Wealth is maybe a degree of comfort. But of course, we as human beings had made a decision at some point back in Babylon or somewhere that we were going to value something to some degree like gold. Now we attach it to some piece of paper that hasn't been worth gold since about the 1500s, but we still think it's really important. So since we believe in this, and this is our exchange, this is our mean of exchange, I guess one question people could say is it okay to cast a spell for money? Some people are actually quite object to it, and some people say, well, it's really no big deal at all. It's just another tool. It's just another thing. But I see Darren is, in fact, in the queue now, so I'm going to go ahead and turn him on. Welcome, Darren Bouquet. Darren, are you there? Hello, Darren. Your phone is on. Okay, well, I'll keep your phone line on, Darren. Maybe there's a problem if you're calling in from a cell, and it did just drop. Let's discuss a little bit about magic and casting spells for money, or doing exercises for money. Maybe you don't like the word spell or magic, or maybe you're uncomfortable with a word like witchcraft. So let's say an exercise, a metaphysical exercise for attracting money. We've all seen, well, I guess, you know, many people have seen movies like The Secret, which discusses the law of attraction. And I see Darren's back. Hold on, I'm going to go ahead and turn his phone back on, see what happens. Your mic is on. Welcome, Darren Bouquet. Hello, Darren. It seems like you're not getting the best signal. We cannot hear you. Let me make sure that the show is functioning properly by just turning on the beginning of a song. Yep. I'm hearing things just fine. What, Darren, can you hear me? Well, he's having some technical difficulties. I'll keep his mic on, and I'll continue to talk about money, abundance, in magic. I have a book by Christopher Penzack called The Witch's Coin, and he discusses in it a little bit some of the aspects and as well as provides different techniques and spells for attracting money. There's an interesting thing about money, though, and it's that oftentimes the magical practitioner is attempting to attract money at a time when they themselves are in a very desperate, terrible emotional state and very broke. I see Darren there. Let's see. Are you there, Darren?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, wow. All right, that was odd. But...
okay. I started the ball rolling in the conversation by saying sometimes with money magic, people are often doing it maybe even more so than for any other types of working when they're truly in a state of not having it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people do. And I think this is what makes sometimes difficulty for abundance spells to work, because your mind just isn't right. It's not in the right place. It's not in that confident place.
Well, desperation breeds misfortune. I hate to say that, but it's true. And you know, what really is just a sad state of affairs, and I see this for people all the time, is that they just, you know, and I get calls where asking for a manifestation when the manifestation is basically like, I really need a job and I have no money and I don't have any concept of how I'm going to get money. And it's if you don't have that concept or that belief or that sheer willpower to kind of pick yourself up, dust yourself off and get ready to embrace prosperity, then you are in quite a pickle. So you got to get yourself back to that point where you can believe that you can be effective, you can be successful, and you can manifest prosperity. If you're outsourcing somebody else and saying, hey, can you do this for me, then you still have to be ready to embrace something that they're sending you. If you just have no, like, even belief that it's ever going to happen and you're just flailing around, then it's going to be very hard for you to get out of that cycle of energy, unfortunately.
And one interesting thing is, and I think this is a great way to look at it. Somebody told me this one time a while back, and it just, I guess it stayed in my mind. And they said, there are people, there may be people powerful enough, skilled enough, talented enough, magical enough to win the lottery, right? It's the big thing. If you say you practice magic, people go, well, how could you haven't won the lottery? Now, there are people that have. I actually personally know someone, or had met him, who said he cast a spell and he won the lottery. Now, that being the case, I'm going to say that that's not the norm. But I just want to say that it's also out there. The interesting thing is, though, is that say you're going to shoot for the big time and you're like, you know what, I'm going to get everything ready, I'm going to do everything right, right phase of the moon, blah, 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 and I'm going to ask for $10 million or $15 million or whatever the number is, a big number. They said one of the most important things to remember is that most of us who don't have $10 or $15 million have absolutely no idea what that feels like. So how do you generate the proper emotional state for something you have never experienced is an interesting point. And I'm talking about if you're shooting for the big, you know, the big prize.
Yeah, the lottery question is something that maybe that would be good to address for some listeners. It's just about, you know, because I hear that all the time as a professional spiritual advisor and a worker. Can't you give me that information to win the lottery? And, you know, the big answer to that question is it's not karmically sound to really dip into that. I mean, I could go to pool halls and casinos and, you know, do everything I could to utilize my gift to, you know, marginally or, like, you know, largely be successful, but the point of it is the lowest form of use of divination or affecting probabilities. And at the end of the day, it's not a high-minded spiritual pursuit at all. So if you want to do that and you think that it's something you're interested in, it's as left-handed as you can possibly go because you're going to have to keep doing it. You know, that $4,000 you win at the casino is not going to last you forever, and you'll have to do it again and do it
right.
again. In the meantime, you're getting farther and farther away from doing anything productive for the world and more into being someone who takes instead of provide. And then at that point, you are getting into the left-handed end of magic. And if that's your cup of tea, then that's a pretty strong drink to drink. So your battles. What I'm talking about as far as prosperity is there's ways to manifest prosperity without going into that left-handed realm. And I actually just manifested for the people that you're being involved with are also being prosperous, and everybody involved in the equation is doing well. So no one, there isn't a loser, and you're not taking, but you're just generating abundance in that general either area or interaction or relationship, just generating abundance.
A good example of that,
mm-hmm.
of what you're saying, I guess what we might call the right way, though I'm not trying to preach
mm-hmm.
to anybody, but is...
Oh, right, and I am saying the left-handed way. You know, there are people out there that will maybe debate that, or chaos magicians that might say that, oh, you know, that's okay, you can go ahead and do that. You know, that's my take on it, so that's what I'm going to stick by, and, you know, everybody can have their own opinion about it. So there's
right.
that.
And I think one example, though, abundance generation, is surrounding yourself with what you love, just in a physical way, even if it's not necessarily a magical working. And I view my band like this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've drawn together this interesting project, and everything about it just seems to be producing something else awesome or something else that's great that I, you know, and now we have a new
mm-hmm.
violin player, we have a new female backup singer, networking,
mm-hmm.
everybody seems to be unique, interesting thing to bring to the project and to help in some way. And from being in the same thing with generating Main Street Universe, same thing as the band, from a refusal of wanting to do a radio show where I just sit in my basement and rant, I wanted it
mm-hmm.
to feel like a community thing, so I went out and got a bunch of other people. And to me, all these things are generating these fascinating and great experiences in life for me. They're not generating money yet, but they will at some point. I mean, in some way, I'm viewing it like, you know, I want to shift to my artistic things for a living. But if I think of all the great people I've met and the great networking I've done, that's a form of abundance, too. All the people I've met, like I've met Selena Fox and met, you know, met all the great people in the magical community, Chris Penzack I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
not to mention Amber Kay. Remember that True Magic, the
right.
little green book? She's been a
mm-hmm.
guest. So we've kind of become part of the
drawing
larger...
On the moon. Drawing on the moon.
Margot Adler. I mean, I never
yeah.
would have thought I was going to meet Margot Adler back in the day, back before online radio and all that. I mean, I remember the name, you know what I mean? But I was like,
right.
I don't think
right.
I ever thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to her one day for an hour and a half on the radio.
Well, neither did I. I mean, I just remember Drawing Down the Moon as being a book all the time when it involved the divine feminine or the divine... pagan at all, and then here we are on the radio with her. So it's fascinating.
That's a form of abundance, you know.
It is. I spent some time, I don't know if she'd want me to share about this, with my sister, who works for a very large banking firm, a very widely renowned New York banking firm, and then she's opening up a satellite office in Chattanooga. So she's bringing all these giant conglomerates to kind of in to get them interested in deals that range anywhere from $500,000 all over the place. But so
right.
she has to go between the money lenders and the company that wants to be lent money to. Because she's very nice, because she's trying to accommodate everybody, so it's just a lot of work. So I'm saying, okay, why don't you go sit and write a haiku? Go do some poetry, because she used to do, she minored in modern dance, and now she's not doing anything like that, anything expressive, anything. And I'm saying go, you know, she has her children that are, you know, she's got to do creative projects with, but, and she was just astounded to even think that writing a poem would be something proactive. But when I'm telling her that when your soul is thirsty for something, and you're not feeding it, then that abundance, you're, you know, that acquisition of money, whether it's acquisition of money for your work or for yourself personally, that's going to falter, because that poetry or that artistic inspiration is the oil that keeps the engine running properly.
Right.
Because otherwise it's going to just start grinding itself.
That's a good analogy. I like that, because that's how I feel at my day job, you know, when I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
That's the grind, you know, and when I come home, it's the, and it's okay. I don't mind necessarily mm-hmm. the work I do, but it's not what I want to continue to do for a living. But when I come home and do all the artistic things, like you said, that's the grease, that's the oil, that's what makes it run smoothly. And then
yeah,
you start
then
to
you
feel
get
right,
up and do
the line properly.
Right. And I told her I'm a lucky person, because part of my weekend, like, to-do list, like Saturday, I had to do a major prosperity ritual myself. And that's why I brought this up to Daniel Michael, those of you that are listening, as being a theme, because I had to work on it, where I used a small pine tree that I bought, like a little mini pine tree. I bought all sorts of juniper berries, all sorts of other, you know, just peanut butter, you know, like all sorts of things that are unctuous, that stay green, verdant, that bring an everlasting idea of wealth and abundance. You know, images of Santa Claus. You know, this is someone that has so much that he's sharing with everyone. So I'm bringing this and I'm translating it and then to several different clients I have, to myself, to maybe, you know, other people that I'm interested in. And I'm specifically delineating other people that I want to have specific things that are abundance related. And it's just marvelous. And then when I, you know, again, bringing up my sister, I think she needs to connect with a sense of the divine. And unfortunately, some of us can go to church, or we can go to the Unitarian church, or we can go to the Catholic church, or whatever church we go to. And it's just like we go and we sit there and we go home, and it's like we never really touch the divine in a real way. So I'm lucky that part of my work is that it's important for me to touch the divine at least once every other day, if not more. So it keeps me regulated. And it keeps me from freaking out about being abundant. That's another thing that we could talk about, is freaking out about being abundant.
Not being able to take it. Not being able to accept
right.
it.
Right. But some people that are making it, or they're not feeling they're making enough, but they're still freaking out about it.
Oh, yeah. There are people that are very rich, and I've worked with them. This guy was worth $85 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a constant state of panic and stress. A complete and utter mess. He didn't communicate well. He often was, he kind of shook funny. He had like a shake about him. He was so
right.
afraid that whatever in the world was going to take it away from him. I mean, he worked. He was a real estate investor, which, yeah, can be a little stressful. But he freaked out
mm-hmm.
way more than he had to. In fact, he stiffed me for about $2,000.
And
like,
he stiffed you. Okay.
Yeah.
So
he's worth $85 million. He can't give me $2,000 for
yeah,
making his world happy for him.
This is someone that is. This is an unhappy person.
Yeah.
So obviously, he's been fairly successful at acquiring wealth, but he's not successful in his professional interactions, his personal interactions. You know, who knows how he is with his sex life and other ideas with that. So,
I mean,
you know, this
he
is
had
somebody
the money.
That probably has a lot of challenges. And doesn't, you know, but I mean, who knows? Because I've never met this person, but
yeah.
I guess.
But I can tell
I
you what it was.
That.
He had a beautiful
sure.
wife. He
mm-hmm.
had two really great daughters that were really smart.
Mm-hmm.
They were in shape, they were athletic, they were smart, they were pretty, you know, they did good in school, they went, they were also spiritual in their own right, because they went to like a Jewish school, and his family was awesome. I used to go do some work for him, and they paid me before, and you know, his wife was a very bright, interesting person to talk to, and he had the life, or what people would say is the life, but this guy did not know that right under his own nose he was completely abundant. right under his own self, you know, that everything was surrounding him. Everything was there. And he wasn't a bad guy. He was just a frazzly mess. And he didn't pay me because I think he freaked out and had to go to, like, some therapy. I could probably – I'm not even talking about my money here. But I'm just saying –
Well, and then you're not showing up on the radar as being a priority because you're maybe not a person. You're just somebody that is working on some sort of construction work or electrical work for him. So he doesn't see you as being a necessity as a human being, which is also a character flaw. You know, so that just – I mean –
a lot of mess.
I think that
communication
was
horrible.
If you can't handle the minutia in your life, like if you can't handle the quote little people that are doing things to you know make your projects and your life better, then you need to hire people to handle it. And if you can't figure that out, then you maybe need to have less projects.
Yeah.
Because you can't set a stream of negative karma. His stream of negative karma, whatever he did to make that money. It's obviously it's eating away at him somewhere along the lines, and at least beautifully he has like this wonderful, you know, these two wonderful kids and the, you know, so hopefully his wife's doing well and they're doing well, but it sounds like he's having some issues, you know. So
all of the pictures in their house, you'll like this because if you've ever met these people and if you've had wealthy clients, I think you'll like, there were literally like the pictures of his house from the wedding, pictures of him at events with his daughters. They all were, he was on his cell phone in the picture. Like he was a totally driven, he couldn't stop working and worrying about his money.
He was on the cell phone in the
pictures. In his pictures. I mean, he's like pictures out of it. He's always, he's looking up and like, there he is on his cell phone. And I'm like, dude, you got $85 million.
Got to be like,
relax a little bit.
This is really... And I know we're talking about the D.C. area, and we know this is how people are, but are you kidding me? Are you joking me?
The picture's
like
on the wall.
His daughter's graduation.
Yeah, he's on the cell phone. Looking up, smiling, waving, but on the cell phone.
It's not by his ear, but it's highly visible. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and sometimes it's on his ear. I mean, like, you don't even believe it. It's posted in the house, like a big picture in the
house. It's on his ear in the picture, like you couldn't stop. For just
sporting event, whatever it was, you know, like picture of the, you know, the girls' soccer game or something. There he is, cell phone, looking at the camera, waving. As if to, almost like as if somebody was going, just at least look at the camera.
Sometimes I feel like, yeah, like that. Lately I'm getting a little on the busier side to the point of where I am feeling like I'm on the phone constantly, and I'm like, wow. You know, and somebody always has something they want to, you know, go over or something, and I'm an accommodating person, but I even had a little chat with my wife about it. She's like, well, thank you for handling everybody else in the world's problems, but maybe I need 10 seconds for you to handle my problem. I'm like, oh, oops.
Whoops.
Yeah, right? Like, that
I can do
point.
That.
She totally had a valid point. Speaking of which, can we take a break momentarily? Because I'm working on a congestion.
Sure.
Then let's take a quick break.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break and then return. Darren and I are talking about money. If you're out there, you can call in for a free reading. And I want to thank those who are listening in the chat room, Kevin Baird and Veronica Quinn and two other mysterious Main Street Universe people. We will be back in a minute. And the song I shall pick, let me see, Diana Arkansas, perhaps, haven't heard her for a while, Ocean of Stars.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
All right, everyone, we are back in Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Bouquet. We've been discussing prosperity, magic, money magic, oftentimes a controversial topic in the magical community. Some people think that you absolutely should not use magic in order to bring money. Some people put a heavy value on money. Some people think it's heavy and earthy. Some people think you should use it as the element of air, that it's just a wispy whatever sort of thing. It will come, it will go. There's a many different opinions on money and metaphysical working. And I see Darren is back. His cell phone dropped for a second, but it has returned, and I will turn his microphone on. Welcome back, Darren.
Hello. So the app's not okay. I kind of don't know where that really comes from. I don't know. Have you heard that from people?
Oh, yeah.
Doing prosperity manifestations is a bad idea?
I think they tie on to the Christian belief system that even though it's not quoted properly, they say that they think money is the root of all evil and that a spiritual working shouldn't be involving money. I literally think it's leftover Christian stuff, not trying to insult our Christian friends.
Sounds like leftover Christian stuff to me. I mean, the whole, you know, Franciscan order of, you know, poverty and all that. You know, I have to say that when someone calls me and says, hi, I've been in a rut, my energy's weird, I can't get a job. Like, I have a field that I'm in, I've been doing it for years, and I haven't been able to get a job in 5 months. I think I want to help that person. I don't think there's anything derogatory, negative, or karmically askew about me trying to help that person get a job. I don't think that's why, how would that be bad? So I don't know.
I agree completely, because then I would say something like this. I would say, well, is it wrong that you want your kids to go to a good school? Is it wrong that everybody in your family gets adequate medical treatment? These are all the things that money helps you get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Should you keep suffering with a toothache and not be able to do anything about it because you don't have the money?
I like the harm none ideology. I like that thought process. I like the, you know, if you're taking away from the, you know, the territory of the black squirrel to raise your, you know, your kale farm or something like that.
Right.
Then maybe that's not such a good thing. Okay, and maybe you could feel bad about it. But if all you're doing is trying to be, find consistent employment, then I don't see why anyone would have a problem with you. And the thing is, too, maybe we don't realize it, but we're all doing some form of remedial magic all the time. We're all doing that constantly. You know,
right.
when we finally say, okay, that's it, I really got to get up and make this happen. Or when you're in your car and you're saying, gosh darn it, I really got to get across this intersection because these people are not moving, and you will them to move because they're all just sitting there kind of like, they're not being assertive and they're not crossing the intersection. So everything on some level, like, you know, it's hard to say where it is and where you should draw the line and what's asking for too much. I think it's important to go on your path. And if your path is to have mid-range, you know, a decent income and have everything you need and be comfortable but not acquire massive amounts of wealth, then maybe that's it. And maybe you don't need to worry about it. Other people might need to make a little more money to maybe send out their message into the world, or to change the face of the economic standpoint, or to, you know, maybe we all, you know, different people have to make different money for different reasons. So I think it's just important to hold true to your path and your destiny.
Right. So sometimes.
So to do that, you have to find out what that is. So.
Right.
That's not always easy to do either.
Now, I personally think, I don't agree when people say there's something wrong with asking to manifest money. I do think, though, that I think there's a lot of natural blockages about money that make it difficult. I think a money spell might be more difficult for some people than a love spell, for example, if we're going to use comparative stuff. There's something about it. It's like so real world. It's so cold in a way. But it can also be warm. You know, if you can remember what it feels like to feel comfortable, I think even Kevin, who's in the chat room, had said before, I want to be even more comfortable than I am now. It's not a very dramatic statement, right? It's just you know what the comfort feels like, and then you desire a little more of that comfort. So, and as you know, while trying to do a successful magical working, it oftentimes involves getting into the proper emotional state. So I think sometimes some people don't know what it feels like to be economically comfortable. Therefore, it makes it difficult for them trying, especially maybe a beginner, trying to do their first, you know, abundance.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've never been wealthy. Not wealthy, I wouldn't say that. You know, certain family members have, you know, they have money, but I don't have access to giant sums of money. But as I'm becoming more affluent,
when you make things happen,
you know, I'm beginning to have. But the thing is, when I do a visualization for wealth, I find, and unfortunately, this may be happening, that I'm visualizing something moderately helpful, but it's not a giant sum of money, because when do I have a giant sum of money? So
exactly.
The limit is your own your own realm of imagination. And if I can't imagine it, then how the hell am I going to get there? And that is something that I find that I've been trying to work on, is that I may be limiting myself. And unfortunately, I hope I'm not limiting my clients or limiting people that I'm giving advice to, due to my enumerate frame of reference. So, but like the people that can't imagine, you know, I see a lot of fatalistic stuff on people's lifelines too. And I asked somebody today when I was doing a reading and looking at their lifeline, I said, why would you think that you're going to have a terrible next 12 years? Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Right.
You must really be resigned to the fact that you're not going to really have a fruitful or exciting, or, you know, you're going to be existing but not living in the next 10 years. So I would say that's a pretty bleak way to look at things, which, of course, you know, that's not going to make anybody happy.
But my point is, the good news in what we're talking about, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
is that you can use the examples that are successful to help you climb the ladder. Like an example for you would be, you could imagine getting more clients, right? So that's something you can make happen in a spell. You've had times where you've had tons of clients, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so you could maybe say, okay, I want to be of more abundance, I want more clients. Well, that's something, that's a feeling you know. You know what that feels like, it's happened to you before.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
But not being able to visualize it. So, if there's something I could send out to our audience, I would say don't limit the parameters of your wishes and don't limit the belief. Now, we might wish something, but we don't really believe that it's possible. Believe that it's possible. Work on the belief. I have to work on it. All
right.
I am.
And that's the emotional I was talking about, to get you to believe
mm-hmm.
that it's something that maybe you've experienced or you can convince yourself that you can experience it.
That you deserve it. That
yeah.
you deserve it.
Self-love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you deserve, that you're not, some people that are always used to struggling will always struggle because they're used to struggling. If they have money, more money than they've ever had, it will still be scraping for the next thing that they need, thinking that the scraping part is needs to be part of the equation. Oh, I've been trying to get into a house. Now we have a house. Okay, but the house isn't big enough because, you know, little Jimmy needs a play area. Okay, well, we need a bigger house. Oh, my God, we need a bigger house. And then it's like we're in a bigger house. Oh, well, you know, this one isn't in a great school district, you know. So then it's like this whole thought process that it needs to, you need to know that you can be happy. So money is actually, it's just like energy, you know. You become dependent on the quest for it, or you just make it happen and make it actualize itself. Or does that sound really existential?
No, that's okay. That's what we're here for. And I want to talk about elemental associations with money.
Okay.
Because as you know, as a tarot reader, as part of what you do many things.
Mm-hmm.
That oftentimes, depending on the system someone was trained in or under, is money is associated with the element of earth, the pentacles, the coins, the pentagrams. Now, some people, though, have been talking about money being associated with Hermes and Mercury and air. And I'm wondering about those comparisons or what you think about those sorts of ideas compared to, or can they just live?
I think mercurial energy, Mercury is marketing. Mercury is communication. Mercury is sharing ideas. The age of technology lets us realize that money is through shared ideas. It's less about commodities and more about intelligence and ideas being commodities. You know, oh, I have a new idea for a way to, you know, file sharing on the internet. I have a new idea for a radio show, a TV show, a book.
Right.
Merchandising for that book. You know, oh, this new movie about this lady who can make freeze things and then it's the ice cream, but then it's this and that, and oh, maybe Disney might be interested. Suddenly that's the most valuable commodity of the year is an idea. So Hermes, being intelligence and communication and all that stuff, it is money, more so than ever, I think, right now. Now, you know, if we're going to look at riches being the Earth or Juno or, you know, since we're talking about Greek, you know, ideologies and stuff like that, or Hephaestus with the Earth and the ore and the gold and all this stuff, we're going to do that. I mean, it's there, but I think there are two different paths to the same destination. Let's say you use your earth magic to make your crops ridiculously abundant, make your horses super fast, make yourself a ridiculously powerful athlete, make the commodities you're selling be of the utmost quality, and make your produce and your physical strength and the strength of your security and all of those things, maximize all those things, you will do more business, you will have a better product, and you will sell more of your product, of course.
Right. A very,
lately,
like the hard,
but hold on,
like,
let me
I guess the laborious way to do it, but not a bad road.
Right. Yeah, but
kind of
it
a solid
is a little
way.
More laborious way to do it, because let's say I'm Mercury, I'll just fly in and tell everybody that your product's like that.
And you'll pay me to be the middleman.
No, just tell everyone your product's like that. His product is the best. He has the best grapefruits ever. No, really, he does. And he can get them to you quicker. He can.
And you're the salesman.
Oh, yeah. And you're, grapefruits suck, but your grapefruits suck. So it doesn't matter because everyone thinks your grapefruits are great. We don't even know. You know what was interesting? I swear, sometimes I was watching King of the Hill, and it was all about they opened a food co-op, and he was doing his steaks from, like, Walmart steaks, and the steaks that he cooked, and everyone's like, wow, this tastes like rubber and all this stuff, and he loves his steaks. Then he bought some steaks from the food co-op, And they started talking about, like, oh, a tomato doesn't have any flavor. And the girl was like, wow, this tastes like heaven and all this stuff. So they started shopping at the food co-op. And it was like, if you don't know what a real tomato tastes like, you won't miss it.
Right.
But if you do know what it tastes like, then you will miss it. So that's, I guess, my point is that, you know, you can do anything with sales, but when people get the real product, they will go, you know, when they get something that really has that quality, there's no substituting for that.
And that's when the earth element kicks in, is the real meat.
That's when the earth element overrides everything else and kicks your ass, pretty much.
You can't talk your way around that one.
No,
when they drink a really good bottle of wine versus, you know, Boone's Farm, there's no way your sales lingo is gonna get you out of it.
Commercial with Selena Gomez dancing with Boone's Farm is not changing the fact that Boone's Farm tastes horrible. it's just not. I don't know. There's two different. So in my opinion, there's two different pathways. Those are two different pathways to wealth. Now, what are other ways you can use the other two elements as pathways to wealth?
Water and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fire. You know, constantly destroying and rebuilding and igniting and inspiring and then destroying again. I mean, there's insurance scams that make a lot. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But fire is inspiration, constantly an inspiration, constant ideas, constantly, you know, coming up with all this stuff and just really being this buoyant, energetic, organizational maniac, you know, and that's always going to make you money. Water, you know, being able to deal with all sorts of different people, being that fluidity. There's a lot of different pathways to money. I try to make sure that I incorporate a lot of them. I don't know which ones you use. You know, you obviously do your earth thing because you're setting up these electrical things and then you're doing manual stuff. So you do a lot of the earth pathway. I do a lot of water where I'm helping everybody understand everything and the overall connectivity of everything. I do some fire and I do a lot of air. And, not a lot of earth. Anything. No, not really. I'm not making anything crafty. I'm not going to anyone's house and changing anything. I'm not doing any of that. So I think we all find our different niches.
And I'm looking for mine to be more, maybe, I'm getting older and I'm, you know, my knee
is
funny.
Oh, I think the spiritual thing is the fire.
Spiritual
would be a fire. So if you're doing your music, that would be a fire.
Yeah. It definitely does awaken you. It does. And it's a quick temporary thing. You bang out a song, you're done. But it makes you feel alive when you're in it. And in this particular project.
Well, and it makes
project,
other people feel alive, too.
Right.
If there's a lyric in your song that speaks about, like, the golden bough and this and that and experiencing something, and someone hears it at one of your shows and just is really enlightened, that is you using the fire element to wake them up and inspire them, and that's powerful.
Yes. And I think I feel good. I feel better about this band than any musical project I've ever been in. So I'm very excited in a way I haven't been in like, a long time for a musical project. It really is coming together the way, as close, it'll never come together as how you pictured it in your mind, but when you're working with other people, right? So you just take what's as close as it can be, and it's definitely the closest. It's they're just not only talented, but they're all very good people that are incredibly easy to get along with. There's no drama. They all prefer honesty. I mean, so everything is just like quick communication, no hidden anger.
The universe is sending you a gift.
What's that?
The universe is sending you a gift,
mm-hmm.
and it's sending you the
God.
Right,
yes.
the right setup to actually make some really great music.
Absolutely. It really feels like a gift. And there's no other way to say it. Because for so long, I've not had the right band members. And some of them were talented. Some of them were less talented, but more had the personality I wanted. And so they were okay. But this seems like a combination of the whole thing. They're all talented with the right personality.
It's a platform.
And with the right creative working energy. We're all very focused. And it's very simple. It really almost just, it just happens without any drama whatsoever, and that's not always the case in a band.
Well, right. And when you have that, you have to look at that as a gift and then utilize it, because it's not always there. Obviously, you know that. Even I know that. It's many.
Oh, yeah.
That is a big reason why I don't think I've been in a band. I've tried it. Yeah, I've had a little, secret fantasy about being in a band for years, but
yeah, you mentioned that.
When I look at band dynamics, when I look at it, it just never, I've never seen the incarnation of it that really sounded, I talked to Nanas about it, and it just, I went as far as to write a couple of songs, but it just,
right.
It needs to work. You know, if you have that happening, and it feels good, like the setup feels good, then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you got to roll with that. That's amazing.
It's rolling beautifully, including a visual artist that drew our logo.
Mm-hmm.
I paid him a little bit of money, but not a lot. But it's something we'll have for life, and it's beautiful. You know, it just seems like that all of the right people have been falling into this project. Yes, there was effort. I'm not saying there wasn't effort and that it happened effortlessly. But after the initial efforts, it just seems like the snowball effect has been happening. You know,
but roll with the snowball effect.
Yeah.
Things come together and that's it. Just make sure you have a couple powerful songs to really connect with people with, and a solid album, and then go out and you have to do your Mercury after that.
Right, exactly. We're doing the Earth right now. We're still working on that. But we're hoping by the solstice, actually. I wouldn't mind a midwinter CD release party. That might be kind of cool.
Okay. Well, that's something to focus on. So
Dragon's Head,
in the next show,
debut right? In the darkest hour of the darkest night.
That sounds good. That sounds powerful. Because then, and the other end of the year is all about what? Growth and, it's everything.
Opening
else.
It up and all that.
And then by this time next year, you could be culling all that. Calling all that positive energy that you put up. So that's really beautiful at that point. So to manifest, I'm going to say that if you want to manifest positive abundance, you want to pull prosperity towards you, go ahead and take some things that you really mean. Like if you could visualize what to you would mean prosperity and pull them all together and kind of set them up somewhere and really spend some time and meditate on what those things mean, and if it's a really nice bracelet, if it's a stack of $20 bills, and just realize that that is something that will always be available to you, and there'll always be a corridor open for that. There'll be an energy channel that will always be open. And then realize that you can open that channel and make that energy come through that channel to you whenever you want. And if you practice this daily, you're going to find that channel begins to really, something's coming through that channel. But you got to practice it. You got to meditate on it. And if, you have a relationship with higher energy, and I recommend you do, I would definitely sit and make that a priority to say, hey, I would like to be a little bit more comfortable. Can you send me some energy down my prosperity corridor so that I can have more bracelets or more light bills paid or more cars that run when I get in the car or a nicer car? Like, whatever you feel is something that would you deserve in your life, and just let that energy flow through there.
And that was another point you mentioned. You mentioned connecting. with higher energy. And I know you're very much a fan of connecting with something anthropomorphic, meaning a god or a goddess, like deity.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say the universe, but I think also some people are highly advanced enough magicians to where that works for them. I definitely think that beginners should give something a name, you know, something like, you know, Kuan Yin, or in my case, or whatever it is, Odin, or whatever deity you feel like you're drawn
you
to, or just
saint.
God.
You could pick an angel, you can pick, you know, an expression, or even an element. You could pick an element. You could say, you know, oh fire, or oh water, or oh the land, or Gaia.
Gaia to build an emotional connection with.
Gaia is so much more anthropomorphic and so much more human than the universe.
Right.
And Gaia is like a planet. Like it's,
right.
But
it's a living,
Gaia,
breathing.
First of all, it says feminine. Second of all, it says mother. Third of all, it says planet. I mean, it's all things you could really connect with in a matter instead of like a big empty.
It was difficult for me to try to pray to the universe when I first got into the metaphysical world.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were saying, ask the universe. And I'm not saying that there are people that can't do that, because they also might do their own version of humanizing the universe, for example, perhaps. I'm just theorizing. But there was something about giving things names that it's worked for so long, and there's a reason why it works, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just more terrestrial than that, and I can't imagine. I just don't. You know, for me, I'm not going to take comfort in imagining a giant expanse of space dotted with stars that doesn't. It's not doing it for me. It's not. Maybe for some people it does, that immensity. But how does that immensity really care about you? I don't know.
Right. I mean, it's
a really. Do you think that big, immense area of space is coming down and saying, listen, Rebecca, you're really important. Guess what? You lost your kitty Scribbles? Okay, don't worry. I'll make sure Scribbles comes home. Not really.
And
you
it's,
know,
like
I
said, it's different approaches. Maybe they think because it does feel so vast that makes them feel like it's powerful. Maybe there's that.
Oh, really? It's so powerful that it's nothing happened. How about that? Guess what? You know, your sense of divinity is so powerful that since it's just so, it's actually, to me, it's kind of a cop-out, and maybe some people might be offended by me saying that. I think it's kind of a cop-out. I think that you don't really want to put any of yourself into the equation. So just saying the universe is just easy, because then it doesn't, you don't have to sacrifice anything, and nothing, you know, you don't have to form a relationship. Relationships are not easy. They're difficult.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it.
You don't want to have a relationship with higher energy than don't. But don't say, well, I just trust the universe is going to figure it out. And, oh, well, okay. Okay. So when Christmas comes around, I'll just trust that Santa Claus to take care of it for me, too. So everybody, sorry, no, I told Santa to help hook you up. Hopefully he's going to do it. He knows who you are, so don't worry. As long as you're good.
He sees you when you're sleeping and all that.
Yeah, he knows what. Yeah, he knows what you are. So anyway, everyone, please, abundance and prosperity is something that's just within your reach. Just believe that it is, you know, try to have a relationship with higher energy. I know I always say that, but I'm just saying, it really makes a difference. It makes a difference for your mental health, your physical abundance, and just your overall happiness. So this is Aaron Bucare. Saying, always reach out for your spiritual insights. Thank you, Daniel Michael.
Thank you, Darren. And where can they get a hold of you if they want a private consultation?
Oh, yeah. So if you get a hold of me, you can either contact me at Marie Lavo's House of Voodoo in New Orleans, or also to email me at dbucare@gmail.com. dbucare@gmail.com. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you. And have a great week, Darren. You've been listening to Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Bucare. And remember that you can always listen in the magical archive that is the archive listen, which means that next week you can listen to last week this week right here on the Nature Universe. Thank you all, and have a beautiful evening.
Archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.